I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Well, it is so good to be able to be here, or sort of be here, in this beautiful church of St. Helens. I'm so sorry that we can't gather in person, but I do hope that you're all keeping safe. St. Helens has had a rich ministry over many years. The connection and participation in the neighborhood ministry and refugee ministry is truly inspiring as you continue to connect with neighbors all around. But there are so many other areas of ministry that St. Helens has been involved with that have been transformational to many. I'm grateful for the ministry of your former Rector Scott, and now, as you are in a time of interim, I am delighted that the Reverend Liz Hamill has invited me to join with you for your online worship. It is great to be with you. So embedded in the gospel passage that you just heard was the famous quotation that gets referred to in a vast number of places, including billboards and shopping bags and even on that eye black ink that athletes put on to help reduce the glare on a sunny day. It's seen as an evangelical tool all on its own. In that, it seems, one just has to read John 3:16, and your life will be transformed and changed. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Martin Luther, that famous church reformer, is quoted as saying that these 27 words are the heart of the Bible, the gospel in miniature. If they are the gospel in a nutshell, perhaps there's not that much more to say, and I could end this sermon now. But since I'm here, let me offer a few more words. So let's sit with John 3:16 for a little while, and let the words roll around this building and in your home, and get caught up in your thinking and praying on this day. Let's see how they might poke us and prod us here in Lent in 2021, even here in a pandemic, and how they might nudge us to look more deeply at how we live this day and live this week. Let's break it down into smaller pieces for easier consumption. For God. The first two words that set a beautiful scene and the groundwork for all else. God is the subject of the sentence and therefore is at the center. Not us. Not the many things that will fill our days and our time, but God. God is the ground that we walk upon in this life. The basis of all else. The Alpha and the Omega, and shapes all that we experience in life. We can get this muddled up sometimes and think that life is all about us and what we can accomplish and gather and control. But life is a gift. Life is a gift from the God who called us into existence. How do we live as if we are grateful? How do we show our trust and our hope in God? How do we act when we know that all of life is a gift to be received rather than taken? Henry Nouwen once wrote, "Introspection and contemplative prayer is the ancient discipline by which we begin to see God in our heart." He said, interior prayer is a careful attentiveness to the one who dwells in the center of our being. He said, through prayer, we awaken ourselves to God within us. With practice, he says, we follow God to enter into our heartbeat and our breathing, into our thoughts and our emotions, into our hearing, seeing, touching, and tasting, and into every membrane of our body, He said, it is by being awake to God in us that we can increasingly see God in the world around us. For God so loved. The first four words of this passage paint a picture that stirs us to see that there is something to this God, this giver of all gifts, and it is centered upon that word, love, that is often misunderstood and confused, even abused. But love refers to that thing that binds all of life together. That peace that comes to us from the source of all life and flows through us to make us aware of beauty and wonder and joy. It is that gift that changes us from merely life forms to human beings, aware of others and able to offer compassion, hope, and the whole of ourselves to others. It is a life-changing force that touches us beyond our intellect and strength to our heart and our soul. The part of us that encounters holiness in even the most mundane moments and awakens us to cherish them. For God so loved is the basis of our whole theology that Jesus revealed to us. God is love. God will love. God so loved. Jesus revealed a God that wants and desires, pleads, even begs us to be in relationship. A God for whom love is a link, a prayer for us and with us, and commits to be with us and amongst us for always. A God of a covenant of love to the thousandth generation. Henry Nouwen, again, wrote, "But what I would like to say is that the spiritual life is a life in which you gradually learn to listen to a voice that says something else, that says, you are beloved, and on you my favor rests." He said, "I want you to hear that voice." It's not a very loud voice, because it is an intimate voice. He says, it comes from a very deep place. It is soft and gentle. "I want you to gradually hear that voice," he says. We both have to hear that voice and to claim for ourselves that that voice speaks the truth, our truth. It tells us who we are. For God so loved the world. The translation is that I prefer is, "For God so loved the cosmos." God's love is so expansive, it goes far beyond simply our own individual lives and beyond our church and beyond the city around us. It is spacious beyond what we could ever even imagine. It goes beyond our world, beyond our lifetime, beyond our thinking and understanding. God's love is as expansive as the stars that we see on a summer's eve, but again, far beyond that. We know that the universe continues to evolve and grow and expand. We've seen pictures and images of only a small corner of the universe, but it is infinite in size, beyond measure or definition. This is the image of God's love that's helpful for me, not limited by our pettiness, our guilt, our unbelief, our unwillingness to forgive ourselves or others, or see the presence of God in another. None of that. "For God so loved the cosmos" is the kind of nutshell our gospel tries to fit into. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son. This God of the cosmos, this God of love, this God who was present at the beginning of time and before that, and continues to walk with us and connect with our lives. This God gave a son. This God became vulnerable. This God broke the bounds of generosity and came to us. This God proclaimed that a connection could be made with humanity. This God, beyond our full understanding, entered into a human form to reveal a depth of to the love that God has for us, risking all to enter time, to enter finiteness, to enter all that it means to be human, so that God is no longer distant from our lives, but walking amongst us, knowing and feeling all that we know and feel. This God, this Son, this Jesus, revealed to us the very heart of God, breaking into all of our rules and misgivings and wisdom and entering time to see that God has a compassion and grace that is bigger than any limits we might want to put upon it. This Jesus spoke about a God who's like a parent of a prodigal child who will simply not give up on us, or like a mother hen with a brood of chicks, a God who is willing to respond to the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, a God who invites us to not simply take all that we can get away with, but to be salt and light in this world, sell our possessions and give them to the poor, even love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Jesus revealed as God's Word, God's Son, God who could still a storm but also accept water from a woman of Samaria, a God who was breaking down barriers and human-made divisions and called us into living a more compassionate life, not centered on ourselves, but God, not centered on possessions, but love, not centered on ego, but faith in God's grace for us and for others. This God so loved the cosmos that God gave God's only Son, gave God's child to be treated in this world in the cruelest of ways, to be beaten and mocked and tortured and killed, to attempt to take away every ounce of his humanity and compassion, to try to destroy him and all that he stood for, to erase his presence from the world, from the cosmos. But it couldn't happen. It was not possible. Instead, the actions created a central part of our gospel nutshell. It could not and did not end in death, not in perishing, but life, greater life, abundant life, eternal life. Henry Nouwen once more, who said, "The truth is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity and held safe in an everlasting embrace." He said we must dare to opt consciously for our chosenness and not allow our emotions, feelings, or passions to seduce us into self-rejection. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. In Lent, in a pandemic, this is our faith, our gospel, in a nutshell. Amen.